thank the Lord for being here today and His faithfulness to me and His faithfulness to every one of us. The Lord has been faithful to every person that's in this building today. He's been faithful even when we don't realize how faithful He is. He's been faithful to us. We can think of so many things that we have and so many blessings that He has given us. He's bestowed us on us from day to day. And we should thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
We want us to turn to James, the 4th chapter. And I want to begin reading at the 13th verse. James 4, verse 13. We'll talk about your life.
Go to now.
Ye that say.
Today or tomorrow.
We'll go into such a city. And we'll continue there a year.
Buy and sell.
And get gain.
Whereas ye know not
what shall be on the morrow.
For what is your life?
It is even a vapor. Have you ever asked a question in your mind? What's my life? It says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time
and then
vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So all of us, no doubt, and I don't want to be presumptuous here, but the majority of us, if not all of us, have come to a place and we've said, you know what, I'm going to do such and such tomorrow. And I'm going to do this for a year. And I've got my life planned out for the next year as to what I'm going to do. And then from that point, I'm going to make some other adjustments. And then I'll be in a position to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to work here for a year. And I'm going to make gain. I'm going to do all these things. We've all said those kinds of things, haven't we?
Yeah.
And what this passage of Scripture is telling us, we should be in a position where we say, Lord willing, I'm going to do this. Lord, if it's your will for me to do this or that, to go to this particular city, I want you to give me direction for my life. I don't know what is on tomorrow. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. We've all been in situations and circumstances that we never thought that would happen to us on that day, but it is. Whether it's something good, whether it's something that we don't consider as good as we would have desired for it to be. But ultimately speaking, the Lord has our whole life mapped out. He knows what our life is all about. And so what we should do, and what He's saying here in this passage of Scripture, is that we should seek the Lord in all, with everything that we do. We first seek the Lord. Seek the Lord first. Ask Him what it is that He wants us to do. Then we follow in that vein. That's what our life is. And so He says here, what is your life? It is but a vapor. I want to read a little bit of what it says in the Amplified Version. It says, what is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air.
Yes.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It's just who we are. It's just my existence is only going to be here for a short period of time. The majority of my life is over. And I have to come to grips with that. I have to understand the majority of my life on earth is probably done. I'll be 96 years old if it's not. Chances is at least half over. And the older that we are, the more our life is almost over. And so what we have to understand is what is important. And I believe what God wants us to do at this time is to examine our life. It's the end of the year. People tend to make New Year's resolutions, and we plan out what's going to happen for 2011. We've got it all planned out. We've got it all in our mind as to what we're going to do, but what we need to understand, what really is important to me.
Right.
There are some people that are not here today that was here this time last year, and we never thought that they wouldn't be here today. All right? We all know them. We just had a rash of funerals that took place over the last a month or so. And some of the people, we did not think, if not all of them, we had no idea that their life was going to be over. And so what a funeral does, the end of someone's life, what it does, it makes me stop and think about what my life is. It makes me stop and think about what is most important in my life. Is it that I'm going to go and get all this gain? I'm going to go to this city. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to get a lot of profit. I'm going to do a lot of the things that I want to do. Is that what's important? Is that what is most important? I'm not going to say that it's not important for a man to get up and go to work every morning to feed his family. Absolutely, that's important. But it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we must be in a place to realize that my life is just a wisp of smoke.
Yes.
That at any moment, something as simple as a little bacteria that I cannot even see can take my life away from me.
Yes.
Something as simple as a bump on the head, or I fall down a flight of stairs and poof, my life is gone. And so what I've got to look at is what is most important. Am I in a place that the most important things in my life is what I do for the Lord? That's what life really is.
Yes.
That's what life is really all about. So we make our plans and we make our lives and they become independent of God. I tried to wait on you, Sister Bonnie. And it reminds us of the frailty of life. Reminds us of how frail life really is. Just a puff of smoke. But I want us to get a hold of something. I want us to understand very plainly and very clearly what is important. What makes my life, your life, significant. It is not what we accomplish in the eyes of the world. It is what we do for the Lord. Alright? Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Luke 12, verse 15.
And he said unto them,
Take
heed.
Take heed.
And beware of covetousness.
Beware of covetousness.
For a man's life
consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
And
he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thee for years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God saith unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we come to places in our experience, in our lives, that we feel like that, or we say, we don't say necessarily we feel this way, but our culture, the culture in which we live, has determined that it is best to be a rich man. Mm-hmm. And what we find out, if we're not careful, is that we will strive to get to the places that this culture has told us is the most significant and successful places. And let me tell you, it's true that a man that has a wealth of money can get a lot of things accomplished that a man, perhaps in a state of poverty, can't get accomplished as far as the world is concerned. Bill Gates is doing a lot of good things. I'm a recipient of some of Bill Gates' good doings, good deeds. He can do a whole lot of things more than what I can do in a monetary sense. But let me tell you, all of us are equal when it comes to what God has for our life individually. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all the rich men combined cannot do what God has ordained for me to do. They cannot do what God has ordained for you to do. And so what we must understand is that our life is a life that God has ordained. And Lord, before it's all over, I want to make certain that I've done everything that you've required of me to do in this life. Give me a significant life. I want my life to be significant. I don't want, when I die, I don't want folks to say, what did he do? And most of all, I don't want God to say it.
Amen.
What did you do? You want to hear the words. I often say this. You want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but you're going to have done something on this side of eternity in order to hear those words over on the other side.
Right.
What have you done? What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing that will set your life apart from all the other lives that are around you? What are you doing that will set your that'll make God stand up and take notice of what you're doing? All right, so he says here, in this passage of Scripture that we read here, 12:15. All right. Take heed and beware, he says. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Have you ever thought, oh, no, this is life. This is what it's all about. This is what I'm talking about, we say. This is what I'm talking about. He said it, but it's not consists not in the abundance of the things which we possess. And he spake a parable, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this is I'll do. I'll pull down my barns. This is a man that said, I know what I'll do tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll go and I'll tear down my barns. I'll build greater barns because my fields are just overflowing. But what is his life? His life consists of those things. His life consists of those things which he had. And he thought that because he had an abundance, that was life. All right? But what did the Lord say? And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? His life was over. Now, what was important? All right. Now, one of the things that we do often, and I encourage you to do this, as you look back over this, we've got one more week, less than a week in this year. As we look back over this year, we can examine the good things and the bad things that happened here. We can examine what was beneficial for me, what did not seem to be so beneficial for me. We can examine those things, can't we? And we can seek the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, give me clarity and understanding as to do better next year on some of the things that didn't go so well this year.
Amen.
And I believe the Lord in His wisdom and His understanding can give us that kind of clarity and understanding for us to be able to do what it is that He desires for us to do.
Amen.
All right, I want to go a little further here. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, and I want to read, start at the first verse. Read it if you have it. 2, verse 1.
I said in my heart,
yes.
Go to now.
Yes.
I will prove thee.
I will prove thee.
With mirth.
With mirth.
Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity.
All right. What it says, enjoy pleasure, and behold, he found it to be vanity. All right. Continue.
I said of laughter,
it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it?
I sought in
mine heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their lives. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. Had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men, singers, women singers, the lights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. This man had at his disposal anything that he wanted. He had the life, you might say. He had something that nobody else before him ever had. And maybe nobody else after him ever had. He got music and he had anything that he desired. This is what this passage of Scripture is basically saying. He had all of this to satisfy him. And when it was all said and done, what did he have? Nothing. He said in the end that it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. This is why we want you to understand it. This is why the Lord wants you to understand that. It's because we're going to be out of this life. We're going to be in eternity much longer than we ever were 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years on this side of eternity. We're going to be over on the other side for millions and millions of years. So what we must understand is what is most important is me preparing not for this life, making certain I've got my retirement here, making certain I've got my 401k maxed out, and I've got all the things that I need done right on this side. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but what is most important is that right now is my probationary period to make certain that I have my ultimate eternal retirement prepared and ready. And if you don't have that prepared and ready, you're not doing the right things.
And whatsoever mine eyes desired,
whatever my eyes desired,
I kept not from them.
I withheld not my heart from any joy. But my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor.
Then I looked
on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. It was no point. It was not ultimately the point that would make me the happiest. So what is your life? What are you doing? What are you clamoring to do? What are you determining to make happen in your life? And once you reach that rung in the ladder, then you know that I'll have made it. But you know what? There is nobody that reaches a rung in the ladder and then decides that this is where I want to stay. There's always something else to reach for, isn't it? Well, you know, I believe that's the same way that happens in a spiritual sense. We come to places, spiritually speaking, that we hit spiritual plateaus. We hit a certain rung in the ladder that we have climbed up to a certain spiritual place, and we feel like that's good enough. But I've learned in my own experiences that the Lord wants us. There is never a place of ultimate rest until we reach the other side, till we get all the way up to heaven. That is the only time that I can rest. There is another spiritual level that I must go to and I must strive to, because really what I've learned is that really is what life is all about. My life has changed. Your life has changed as a result of you and I accepting and fully embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life. Let's talk about that for a moment. Let's talk about that. Let's go to John 14, verse 6. And someone else get us Colossians 3 and 4. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 4 first.
In Christ,
yes?
Who is our life?
Christ, who is our life? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. What does it say? My life is Jesus Christ. My life is to do the will of God. I want to ultimately do what God's will is for my life, for me.
Yes,
and so Christ is my life. Let's read in conjunction with that, 14th chapter of John, 6th verse.
Jesus saith
unto him,
I am the way,
I am the truth, I am the life. Read.
No man cometh
unto the Father but by me. So what we're seeking for when a man seeks to make bunches and bunches of money, or people have a desire to be famous and they want to go to the Olympics and they want an Oscar, they want all these things that will make them legends and they'll leave their legacy. What they really are seeking is life. I want something that is more than what I have right now. So we strive for that and we strive to get there, and then some people never make it. They're just a puff of smoke and it goes, and their life is gone. Nobody remembers them anymore. Lord, help us. But really what we have to understand is what we're seeking, what those people really are seeking. And they don't clearly understand that. The ones that must have more is seeking more of life. Seeking more for the life of Christ. And what we as people of God must seek for is more of the life of Christ. Lord, I've got to have it. I've got to have it.
Amen.
Christ, who is my life.
Yes.
Everything centers around that. Everything in my, what I do on my job centers around my life. That's my life of Christ. I won't do anything that'll cut that life off. I'm not going to work for Budweiser. I'm not going to work for anything that would have any kind of impact on my life, the life of Christ in me. And so this is the center of my life. I won't do any. I won't partake of anything on the job that will have an impact on dimming the life that is in me.
Amen.
It's what we do, isn't it?
Yes.
It's what we do. We protect the life that we have. You know why you bundled up? Most of us have coats and hats and whatnot when it gets cold. It's because there's life in us that we must protect.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
In the same way, Christ, who is our life. And do you know that life must be protected? All right. Okay, let's go a little further here. Christ is our life. Now, I want to read another scripture. John 12, verse 24.
Verily, verily, I
say unto you,
except
a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die,
it abideth
alone.
But if it die,
it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it.
He that hateth his life in this world
shall keep it
unto life eternal.
So what does this tell us? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. This is talking, of course, about the death of Jesus Christ. And he's speaking those words and he says, if I don't die, I can't be resurrected.
Yeah.
And therefore, there is not the eternal life that I can give to you in the way that it needs to be given unless I die.
Yes.
And so he says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground, a piece of a grain of corn falls in the ground, is covered up, allows the things that happen to it in the soil, in the moisture, on the conditions that God has allowed it to fall under, and that germinates and grows, it brings forth enough fruit. One grain of corn brings forth enough fruit to feed the world.
Yes.
Out of one grain of corn. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a theory. It's not theoretical. It's literal that you can take one grain of corn and it can reproduce to the point that all you need is one seed of everything that is good to mankind to perpetuate itself so they can feed the world. So Jesus Christ is saying the same thing. He is much more powerful when he dies because there is life in that seed. And when the seed is planted and is covered up and the elements affect it in a way, it doesn't affect it and cause it to die. It actually causes it to bring forth greater life. Now, what is the correlation to you and I in that? In order for the resurrected life of Jesus Christ to rule and reign in our life, we're going to have to die to this old outer shell, all this self-life that we have. The Lord puts it in the ground, so to speak. This is why we go through the trials and the testings of life that we go through. This is why people do us wrong. This is why people talk about us. This is why things don't go the way that we want to, because there are the elements that God is allowing to happen to us to break out this outer shell so that there the life of Christ can actually come up and it can be, we can be much more profitable than if we just remain who we are. There is something in that grain of corn that when you see a grain of corn, it has a hard outer shell. And that outer shell is, and you can set it right here, and you can protect it from all the elements, and it'll be right here, one little grain of corn, it'll be right here 100 years from now. You make certain it is protected, and nothing can get to it. Nothing can break through and soften that outer shell. It is going to be of no benefit to anybody. It's not going to feed any hungry person. I can throw it in my mouth and chew it up, and in less than 10 minutes, I'm going to be hungry. It's not going to satisfy. But this is what God does. What He does with our lives individually, and I want us to understand this, is He says, all right, I'm not going to protect you from those elements. I'm not going to protect you from what people say. I'm not going to protect you from being buried and being unappreciated. I'm not going to do any of that. And where you are in a place where no one sees you, let me tell you, when we bury that piece of corn, nobody sees it. It's down in the ground. Nobody appreciates it. Not at this point, they don't. But then all of a sudden, a few days, the rain hits it. Whatever the elements in the soil is, whatever the sunshine hits it, and then all of a sudden, that outer shell begins to break. It begins to soften, doesn't it?
Yes.
The water begins, the trials and the testings of our life, they will soften who we really are, soften our outer shell. A lot of us are hard. A lot of us are hardened. A lot of us won't allow the Lord to work through us and work with us and break that shell and say, this is how I've always been, and ain't nobody going to take it away from me, but you'll abide alone. You won't have the life of Christ. And let me tell you, every time it springs up, you haven't prepared your heart for the Lord to allow the Lord to use you in the way that the Lord wants you to. So the Lord says, all right, that's the way, in order for me to really use you and you to be a blessing, to be able to feed many, many other people, you're going to have to go through some hard times. You're going to have to be buried. You're going to have to allow the sun, and you're not going to be able to see the sun, but it's going to work its way. The flood, the waters are going to, all these things are going to happen. Then all of a sudden you see this little sprout.
Yes.
Life. That's life. And part of it starts to go down first. The roots go down, and then the little sprigs come up. That's life. The outer shell has been broken, and what was inside, the life that was inside that is able to minister to other people, is able to feed other people. Let me tell you, no one is going to feed you that did not go through a hard place. No one is going to be able to feed you. You know why you can have, why you can appreciate people, certain people, is because they've gone through some hard times. And they weren't bowled over. They weren't cut down as a result of what happened to them. This is the seed that began to come up, and now the life of Christ. And when they speak, they feed you.
Yes.
Sometimes when they don't speak, they feed you because you realize that there's some life there. There's life there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And you're inspired by that life. You're inspired that it's the life of Christ that in the midst of all of the problems, in the midst of all of the things that have gone in complete opposition to the way I know for a fact that they wanted things to go, they still have a sweet spirit.
Yes, Lord, yes.
They still have a sweet attitude. That's life.
Amen.
That's the life of Christ. When Jesus, when they reviled Him, what did He do? He reviled not again, did He? When they spit on Him, He didn't talk about Him. Lord, help us. I want the life of Christ. Christ, who is my life. And let me tell you, we come to some places, and I've seen it in my experience over the years, we come to certain spiritual places, and it seems like if we decide that we're going to stay there, we grow stagnant. And it was good for us to be there for a certain period of time, and we got to a place of comfort, and the Lord says, no, you're going to have to till up the ground, and you're going to have to die again. Let me tell you something, to die, as opposed, I've said this before, but it's important for us. Lord, I want to die to this thing. I don't want to give up certain things. I want to die to them. I want to be dead where they don't have any kind of influence on me. And whatever I have to do, Lord, I need You to help me to be the man that's willing to lay down my life, willing to be covered up, willing to be unappreciated, willing to be all these things so that I can have some life that's bright. And one of the things that folks cannot take from you is the life of Christ.
That's right.
Can't do it.
That's right.
What happens? I'm committed to it. Lord, help me. What happened to the martyrs? They tried to snuff out the life, put a gun to the head and say, listen, you deny Christ or else I'll blow your head away. What's the point of me denying the Lord? Because I've got life in me, and only me can take that life out. So what did Paul say? He says, I'm between and betwixt. You know, my desire is to go and be with the Lord, but it is more needful for me to be here. I want to go and be with the Lord. Oh, you'll do me a favor if you blow my brains out. That's the spirit of the martyrdom. You'll do me a favor if you tie me to the stake. Oh, I know it'll hurt. But it'll just be a hurting for a few moments of time, and then I'll go and be with the Lord. You still can't take the life, which is Christ, out of me. No matter what you do. No matter what you say, but let me tell you, the devil is working on it, and he's going to work on it to make you not appreciate what God is doing with your life. How many times have we complained? Me too. I'm going to just tell you where I have been. I'm complaining about what they did. Or what my wife did. Or what my children did. Or what the church did. Or what my boss did. Or what the Republicans did. Or what the Democrats did. We're always complaining about something. And we don't realize that all of these things are coming together. God is trying to work with us. Lord, help me.
Amen.
Stop worrying about them.
1 Peter 2:23.
Yes.
For when he was reviled not again.
Yes.
When he suffered, he threatened not.
When he suffered, he threatened not.
But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
All right.
Who his own self bare our sins.
His own self bare our sins in his own body.
On the tree.
And
we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes he was.
All right. He died. And as we said, he died to give us life.
Thank the Lord.
And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
All right, let's go a little further. Matthew 19, verse 16. Yes.
Behold.
One
came unto him.
Yes.
And said unto him, Good Master. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
What can I do that I might have eternal life?
And he said unto him.
Why
callest thou me good?
Why are you calling me good?
There is none good but one.
None good but one.
That is God.
That is God.
But if thou wilt enter into life.
Thou wilt enter into life.
Keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt do no murder.
Don't murder.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Don't commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Don't bear false witness.
Honor thy father.
Don't lie, in other words. Honor your father and mother.
And thou shalt love thy neighbor.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
And the young man said
unto him,
All these things
have I kept from my youth up.
What lack I yet?
Jesus said unto him,
If thou would be perfect,
Go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
When the young man
heard that saying,
he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
All right, so we have here a man that has everything. Has everything that people are striving for, but yet he felt like there was something lacking. Because he asked the Lord, I want eternal life. I've got life here. It seems like I've got everything together here, and I've got everything that I could possibly want here on this side of eternity, but there's something lacking here. There's something that I'm not completely satisfied with. He said, What is it that I'm searching for? What is it that I am trying to make my life significant, and I'm trying to find purpose in my life, and I've done all the things that you... He said, what do I lack yet? He said, go and do all of these things. And he says, I've done those things. I've even gotten into church. I've done some things in the church, and there seems not to be a satisfaction. But there was a relationship that this man had with his money that he didn't have with God.
Right.
And his money was more important. That relationship of that money that got him all of what life, I put that in quotation, has to offer, was more important to him now than his relationship with God.
Lord.
All right. So what he says here is, go sell all that you have. Get all this thing out of the way. And then you come and take up your cross and follow me. And he said, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to die to that. You know what? There will come some times in our lives, the Lord will present something to us, and we have to be willing to give it up for him, for the life of Christ. Because he's not going to be in competition with anything else that we love. You say what you want to say.
And he said, I'm not going to be in competition. It's either me or them. So we say, don't we? All right. So here's the comparison. He wanted eternal life. He had everything on the surface, but it wasn't quite enough. And as a result of that, he went away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to give up what he should have been willing to give up. One other scripture, Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you,
take no thought for your life.
Don't take a thought for your life.
What ye shall eat.
What ye shall eat.
What ye shall,
drink. That's not the most important thing. Yes?
Nor yet for your body.
What ye shall put on.
Is not the life more than meat.
And the body than raiment. Yes?
Behold the fowls of the air.
Look at the fowls of the air.
So they sow not.
They don't sow. They don't plant anything. They don't sow.
Neither do they reap.
They don't reap. They don't gather into barns.
Yet your
heavenly Father feedeth them.
Are you not
much better than they? So in other words, the Lord's going to say, you know what? You're concerned about all these things. I'm going to take care of you. Sometimes we feel like, sometimes we compare ourselves too often with other people, and we become dissatisfied with our status in life because we're comparing it with somebody else's status in life. There are going to be people that are going to be richer than you, period.
Yes.
Than all of us.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be people that have nicer things than we are, than we have, than we'll ever be able to afford. And some folks have it in their mind, you know what, I believe that I can do that and I'm going to strive. And they spend all of their life striving to attain certain status in life, and it's not even worth it. It's just vanity and vexation of spirit.
Right.
We should be satisfied. I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't give us a mind to say, listen, you can better yourselves in some areas. And within reason and within a certain boundary, the Lord will give all of us the opportunity to better ourselves. But then when we find out that I've got to fight, I've got to do some things, across some principles and whatnot to get there, then that's where we stop. There's a boundary that the Lord had for every one of us. The Lord probably didn't have it in His mind for me to be a millionaire. I don't know, maybe He did. And if He does, He can lead us in that direction. I don't think it's wrong to be a millionaire.
Amen.
But for me to strive beyond what God has directed me and what God has given me to make this my life, and this is what I'm seeking, is something wrong with that. There is a motivation that I've got to look at and I've got to examine, really, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to have the life that other folks have, or am I trying to have the life that Jesus Christ, the Lord, wants me to have? All right? Now, I don't believe anybody in here is what you would call uncomfortable in how they live. Now, I believe probably every one of us could say, well, I wish I had a little bit more of this or that. I don't believe anybody here that says that they couldn't stand to have a little bit more. But none of us are uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's a blessing from the Lord. All right, let's go. We're almost through. Let's go a little further. Continue to read, please.
Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto itself?
Yes.
Why take
ye
thought for raiment?
Why take ye thought for raiment?
Consider the lilies of the field.
Lilies of the field. Yes, how they grow.
They
toil not, neither do they spin.
And yet I say unto you,
that
even Solomon in all his glory,
was not arrayed like one of these.
Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field,
which today is,
tomorrow
is cast into the oven,
shall he not much more clothe you,
O ye of little faith?
Therefore take no thought,
yes,
saying, what shall we eat?
What shall we eat? Drink? Or what shall we drink?
Or
wherewithal shall we be clothed?
For after
all these things do the Gentiles seek.
For your heavenly
Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
But seek ye first.
Seek. Now you're going to seek about something? Seek the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we don't have to worry about what ifs for tomorrow, because you know what? We barely can bear up under the burdens of today. And so this is why we should not worry. He says, take no thought about those things. And you know what he says? Oh, ye of little faith. The reason that we fight for those things is because we don't have enough faith to believe that the Lord is going to take care of us. And so what should we strive for? Lord, increase my faith.
Amen.
Help me to have a greater faith. And in Scripture, John 10, verse 10. Yes.
The thief
cometh
not,
but for to steal,
to kill,
and to destroy.
I am come that they might have life,
that they might have life more abundantly. So what Jesus is saying to us is that He's come that we might have life more abundantly, more abundant life, that we might have Him in a greater measure, that we might know Him, we might embrace Him. This is the whole purpose of this Bible. This is the whole purpose of us coming together in a setting like this, that we might know Him, we might have the life of Christ in a more abundant way. But you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to seek it. We're going to have to seek the Lord. Lord, give me the clarity, give me the understanding that I need to be able to seek Your life, to realize that it does not consist of the things that I possess. It does not consist of the education that I have. It does not consist of how much money I have in the bank. It consists of You. The more I have of You, the more I have of life. And the more satisfied I am. Let me tell you, when you start getting dissatisfied, then that's a call to prayer. That's a call to go to the Lord and start seeking the Lord. Lord, what is it that You would have me to do? How much deeper can I go? Is there some places in my life that I need to die to, some things that are some sprouts, some things that are coming up that You don't want to come up? And Lord, if You'll help me, You can give me more abundant life. Where, as the brother was saying in the Sunday school lesson today, where the soil was good soil, and the life of the tomato plants was abundant life, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was just growing, 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 and the more He put something around it, the more it grew. It just was no end to it. Why? Because there was life there.
Yes.
And in the same way, no matter what the circumstances and the situations around us are, no matter what the world is doing, no matter how bad the world gets, there can be life, the life of Christ, in every one of us.
Yes.
And nobody can take it away from us. Pray for me.